You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 12th of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week and I suspect you're either listening in your lunch hour or possibly on your way home from work, and I know why you've tuned in today. It's because we have with us today Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
I'm still trying to get into this groove of Friday Daily Nationalist with you, Sven. I mean, it feels so nostalgic being back here once again, doing these shows together. And honestly, it feels like doing a show on easy mode when we get to sit down and have these discussions.
You must be really appreciating that, having more time to spare on your hands without having to do all the editing now as well. That must be a good thing for you, I would have thought. Time to relax a little bit. Well, the article that we've got to discuss today concerns a black teaching assistant called Miss Moody, who has won a race discrimination case after pupils and staff said they were scared of her because she had an angry face. And the article that I'm getting this from is the Daily Mail. It was also covered in the Daily Telegraph, and the headline of the one in the Daily Telegraph says, "Saying someone has an angry face could be racist." So the first quote here says, "A teaching assistant called Miss Moody has won a race discrimination case after pupils and staff said they were scared of her because she had an angry face. Saundra Moody, who is black, was accused by students and staff of having a harsh tone and being aggressive towards the children before she was fired," a tribunal heard. "Miss Moody was told that she was intimidating because she towered over the pupils and needed to get down to their level, even though she is only 5'3". And now, at first you look at that and you think, well, all the kids white or something. And when you look up the ethnic makeup, it's only 50% white, this borough. And the rest of it is non-white races. And when I looked up the headmistress's name, it looked like somebody Indian. And I looked up the judge's name, it looked like somebody black. So it's not like the pupils and the staff have never seen anybody black before. So I don't really see how they can be blamed for racism, for saying that this woman had an angry face. I don't think it's because she's black that they said she had an angry face, because they're quite clearly, they're used to seeing black faces. She must have had an extremely angry face, which is quite bizarre considering her name is Miss Moody as well. I mean, that just opens her up straight away to jokes, doesn't it, about her being moody. And it says that how could she have towered over the pupils if she's only 5'3"? Well, I should imagine that what you do when you've got younger children is you lean down to get down to their level and then talk to them, rather than talking to them from up on high. I mean, I'm only making a guess there, but perhaps that's what's being referred to there, that she didn't lean down to speak to them. She just carried on standing up, so the poor little children had to crane their necks looking up to see her face, and then they saw this angry face. And how can it be that when you have children complaining about this, and when you have staff complaining about this, and then when she takes it to a judge, the judge says, oh no, it was just racism. What they're effectively saying is, even if the facts are that the person does look angry, they're just not allowed to say it because she's a black woman. That's effectively what they're saying here. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this first paragraph here?
I find the whole get down to their level part as being a bit disingenuous on the part of the authors of the article, because, I mean, the way I read that is they're talking about rhetorically speaking. In other words, it doesn't mean literally, you know, they say, oh, she's only 5'3". What do they mean towering over? And I believe what's insinuated from that is her attitude, you know, how she comes off to the kids. I mean, you know, it's not literally standing tall over them. It's the way she approaches. And obviously, because there are numerous complaints, that is what it's centered around, is, you know, her, the way she approaches people, particularly the kids. So I think they're being kind of disingenuous with trying to insinuate that complaint strictly about the way she's literally standing over people. I think that is centered around her approach and her attitude. I mean, it's just the way she comes off. And obviously there's something to it because they had all of these complaints. You brought up the racial demographics for the area. And I think that's really key here because, again, these articles are always pretty disingenuous, so you have to pick through them. But there were the number of complaints against this person. So statistically speaking, if it's only 50% white, and I think it was 30% black, and then the rest was other, I think it would have been relevant for them to include how many of the complaints were from which racial demographic. So in other words, you have this number of complaints. There's a 50-50 chance that the complaints were coming from non-white students and non-white parents. That would be very relevant to the story, especially since the story is centered around this is all about racism. Because if half of the complaints were coming from non-white students and non-white parents, then that would be very relevant, but that doesn't really get mentioned here. In fact, the racial makeup of the area, I think you had to look that up. It's not in the story at all. And I can't help but to think that it's not included for a reason. Because in other words, if they could have shoehorned into the story to say every single one of the complaints was from white students and white parents, then that would bolster the argument that this is all about racism. But you're in a only 50% white area. It stands to reason that at least half of the complaints were from non-white parents and non-white students. And if they included that, then this pretty much blows the narrative out of the water. And I think it's a pretty safe assumption to say that the fact they didn't include the racial makeup of the number of complaints that came in, you can read between the lines. And it's, it's somewhat telling.
Well, perhaps it shows some solidarity here between the judge and Miss Moody, because the judge at the employment tribunal, she was definitely black. But when you look up the name of the headmistress, I get pictures of Indian women. So it's not like it was white people that were saying this. We know that the headmistress was very likely to have been Indian. And yet when it actually came to the employment tribunal and it was a black judge, she found in favor of the black teaching assistant. Continuing with our quotes here. She claimed that the staff were racially stereotyping her as an aggressive, intimidating, angry black woman. In one email to her head teacher, Miss Moody said the treatment she received was racist. She claimed that while white members of staff had allegations brushed under the carpet, there was a rigor and enthusiasm to deal with allegations towards herself. She is now in line for compensation after successfully suing the London Borough of Southwark for race discrimination and harassment, as well as unfair dismissal at an employment tribunal held in South London. So she claims that it's a racial stereotype, yet a lot of people were saying she was aggressive towards the children and intimidating. And what they seem to be saying here is, oh, because that's a stereotype, it can't be true. Stereotypes are generally true. That's why we have them. That's why you end up with stereotypes, because generally, on average, the stereotype turns out to actually be correct. So instead of saying that she's not aggressive and she's not intimidating, her argument is that it's racist to say that at all, at any time, about black people. It's racist to mention that a black person is aggressive or intimidating. And particularly if it's a black woman, that seems to be what she's actually saying here. When she says, while white members of staff had allegations brushed under the carpet, perhaps the white members of staff, when there were complaints, or if there were complaints put in about them, perhaps the white members of staff modified their behavior. Because the allegation here is that this woman didn't modify her behavior. There were all these complaints, and instead of changing the way that she dealt with the children, she said, well, this is racist because it's a stereotype. And now, what do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, again, I don't know. We've been doing this so long, Span, that it kind of becomes second nature to see what's being done. And more importantly, what's not being pointed out, the information they're not giving. And so, you know, they're steering a narrative. And the article is written intentionally to be sympathetic to this person. I mean, that's obvious. And it's not hard to sit back and ask a few relevant questions, which interestingly, or I should say unsurprisingly, are not asked by these so-called journalists writing these articles, you know, sticking with racial demographics. You know, the allegation here is she's being picked on because she's black, and these racist people don't, you know, they have stereotypes. They just don't understand. They can't appreciate, you know, she's a strong black woman or whatever. Now, in an area that's 50% white, 30% black, the rest other, I think it stands. I would be interested what the racial demographics of the staff of the school system is, because that would be very relevant here. The point being, you have a common denominator here in all these complaints, and that's this individual person. In your personal life, if you have all of these problems with different people, if you got problems with people you work with, you go home, you have problems with your family, you go in your social circles, you have problems with people in your social circle, you go to your church, you have problems with people in your church, so on and so forth. The problem more than likely is you. You know, the common denominator here is you. Now, you know, it's the same thing can be applied here. You're having all these complaints. The common denominator, you've got complaints from staff, you got complaints from parents, you got complaints from students. The common denominator in all of these complaints is not racism or even the race of the person being complained about. It's the person themselves. You are the common denominator. You know, all the complaints are about you. I would be willing to bet that at least half, if not the majority of the staff at this school are non-white. How many of the staff are black? I would be willing. I don't have the information because obviously the journalists weren't curious about it. I would be curious how much of the staff is black at the school. Let's just say they went for parity with the population. 30% of the staff is black. It's probably more than that, but we'll say 30% of the staff is black. If this is about racism, then all these complaints would be about all of the black staff, but they're not. This is an issue because it's this individual person. Apparently, none of these evil races had any problems with any of the other black staff. I mean, I know this woman. We can say with absolute confidence, this woman, Miss Moody, who's obviously quite moody. Yeah, I couldn't resist the joke. It's obvious she's not the only black staff there. So if this is about racism, how come there's just nothing but complaints about the black staff? From what I can see here, the fact that they left it out of the article, there's no complaints, so as to speak, about the other black staff members. So this blows the racism narrative out of the water. Nobody had a problem with the other black staff. It's this individual person. She's the common denominator. But instead of just saying, yeah, you know, she's a bitch or something like that, they construct this racism narrative. But with just a little bit of scrutiny, that falls apart because obviously there's probably a significant amount of other black staff and nobody's complaining about them. They're just complaining about this individual person. Again, the common denominator here in all of this is her. But we're being told, and the judge has decided that no, that doesn't have anything to do with it. She's being picked on because of her race, but nobody's picking on the other black staff members again, which I would be willing to bet is a significant amount. So it really, it doesn't hold any weight. You know, the claim here falls apart pretty quickly. it's really a statement on the sad. Yeah, it's not surprising. We're used to dealing with it. But it always bears pointing out the sad state of quote unquote journalism, because these things I'm coming up with and we're pointing out here, just a little bit of journalistic integrity. These are questions you would naturally ask. It's not like we're looking for an angle to make this person look bad. I don't care. I don't know them. I don't care. But a journalist writing an article like this, these are actual questions that any thinking person looking at the story is like, okay, well, I have a question. You know, what's the racial demographic? How many of the staff are black? And how come there's no complaints against them if this is just all about racism? You know, how come the other staff seem to be doing, the other black staff seem to be doing just fine? Nobody's got a problem with them. How come it's just this person, but we're supposed to accept this narrative that no. You know, she was just being picked on because of the color of her skin.
You know, it may be that black people might look angry to white people. If you've just got white people and they're used to seeing themselves in the mirror and they're used to seeing other white people, then they're tuned to the way that a white person looks when they're about to lose their temper. And it may be that black people look in a similar way to that, as if they're just about to lose their temper, but in actual fact, they're not. It's just the way that they look. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. I mean, black people do have different features to white people, and to children, it may look as if they are intimidating or angry. But as you point out there, Grandpa, there must be other black staff members, and there hasn't been any complaints about them. It's not as if anybody else has been given the sack for being angry to the children. They must have been used to what black people look like. Getting back to the quotes here, Miss Moody started working as a teaching assistant at Dog Kennel Hill Primary School, London, in November 2013. And they have actually changed the name of the school now as well. I don't think they like the name of the school, Dog Kennel Hill. She was promoted to a higher level teaching assistant in September 2019. And held that post until her dismissal at February 2023. So she'd actually been there for 10 years. During the time working at the school, Miss Moody had multiple complaints from pupils and staff about her attitude. Parents complained to the school that their children thought she had shouted at them and she had been intimidating. Now, I used to have a black dentist, and she was quite abrupt. It did seem as if she was shouting. And I think it was just her natural demeanor. I think she might have been Nigerian or something like that. But it did seem as if she was just barking things out. And again, that may be quite normal for black people to sound like that. But if you're a white person and you're used to hearing white people speaking, then you may well find that intimidating. I mean, I just thought, well, that must just be the way that these people speak. But then I'm an adult. I'm not a child. I'm not going to be intimidated by that. So part of me wants to think, well, you know, these kids, you know, they may well have find black people scary, but if they're used to seeing them all the time, if 30% of the borough is black and the other 20% is non-white, then they're actually used to seeing this. So it must be that this woman was genuinely intimidating, especially if there have been multiple complaints throughout the whole time that she was working there, from not just the pupils, but from the staff as well. These complaints meant that Miss Moody was investigated for her conduct several times. So she's also been investigated multiple times because of this. And instead of modifying her conduct, it just seems to have made her worse, because she's been told that if people complain about these things, it must be racism, rather than if people are complaining about these things, then they're might well be a genuine reason for them. And if you put a little bit of effort in, perhaps you could appear less intimidating to the children. I mean, what do you make of this, Grandpa? It seems like this has been going on for 10 years before they finally had enough of it. I mean, it sounds to me like the pupils and the staff would have been at their end of their tether going through this for 10 years without this woman modifying her activities at all. And then they're being accused of being racist when they finally have enough of it. What do you make of this quote?
This is why, like I say, the racial demographics of who was complaining would be very, very, very relevant to the story, and they're conspicuously absent. I mean, as you pointed out, one of the things, you know, when you're around black people regularly, and I have been, I'm sure you have been too, you know, one of the things as a white person you have to get used to is they're just loud. I mean, they, you know, generally speaking, when they tell them, you know, I'm not being, I'm just, that's one of the things you have to get used to. You, when they talk normally, they tend to be louder. You know, and that's just, I mean, that's just who they are. Once you understand that, it's no big deal. You don't find it threatening. I don't think people living in a area with the racial demographics that you've found, they're, I don't think any of them are not used to that fact. And again, if we knew how many of the people complaining were non-white, I would bet at least half of them. So again, the problem points to this individual person. I think it's also quite telling that there's absolutely no picture in the article of Miss Moody herself. You know, that, why is that? I mean, if she just looks angelic, then why don't they have a picture of her? And you could look at it and go, well, she doesn't look angry. She looks like a really nice person. You know, why is it that there's no picture in the article? Because again, if the whole article is about the way she looks, you know, and the way she comes across, that would be relevant to the story if they put a picture and it's just like, well, she looks normal to me. And I don't think this school was out looking to pick on this one person. As I said before, they no doubt have all of these other black staff members and they don't have a problem. How many of the staff that complained were black? Because that's relevant if you're making the argument all of this is about racism. And we're not getting any of that. As we know, you know, again, the media, they're telling you a story. And obviously the story they want you to hear is this woman was being picked on for racism. You know, at its essence, that's the story, the narrative that has been crafted here. And the fact that you look at the information that is absent, how, you know, was virtually everyone complaining about this woman white. The fact that that's not included one way or the other is, it's telling. They left it out because, and we can assume, I think it's safe to assume it's left out because it doesn't support the story they've constructed, the story they're telling us. I think we have I think this story at its essence is just what it appears to be. You have one staff member who's got a bad attitude. She's not good with children. She's not good at dealing with other people, period. When she was in her previous position, it was manageable, but then they promoted her and she became even more unbearable to the staff members, probably regardless of race, to the students, probably regardless of race, and to the parents, again, probably regardless of race. She was a difficult person. She should have never been promoted to that position in the first place, but for whatever reason she was, because, you know, the school was so racist, they promoted her. And then they were, and then after promoting her, they turned around and were suddenly out to get her because of her race. And none of it makes sense because they're trying to concoct a story and they're trying to tell us a story. You're supposed to read this and come away with, oh my gosh, we have so much racism in the UK. Yeah, no, I mean, it's obvious the story is what it appears to be. You have one person. We've all had to work with people or had people work for us or whatever the case may be who are like this. And they wind up, you just, all of your problems, all of your complaints over and over and over and over again are about this one person. The problem is the one person. It's not everybody else. You know, the problem is the one person. It's really simply a non-story because it's obvious what was going on here. But of course, they're trying to tell us a different story, you know, about, you know, again, we just have so much evil racism in the UK that this poor one woman, not anybody else, this poor woman, one woman was just being picked on.
Well, they're also saying that if you happen to see an angry black woman, you're not allowed to say she's angry. It's racist if you say she looks angry. And I think you're right there when you say, where is the picture of her? Because surely if this was racism, then the best evidence in her defense would be the picture of her not looking angry. So quite clearly, they don't have any pictures of her not looking angry, or they would have used them. You know, I've seen quite a few of these discrimination cases where black people win the case, and it always has a picture of them. They're always quite proud to have a picture of themselves saying, look, I won this case. But here, they don't want their picture to be shown, and that's quite telling. Well, the tribunal accepted Miss Moody's claim that she had been accused of behaving in a hostile manner at a meeting and wasn't given an opportunity to provide her account. And I'm wondering there if it was her giving her account at the meeting itself when she was told it was being given in a hostile manner. And that's what it appears to be saying here. Following a guidance review meeting in October 2018, Taz Taper, who was the union representative accompanying Miss Moody in the meeting, said in an email to the head teacher, Galima Amien-Clote, that behaviour towards the teaching assistant could be construed as inappropriate, bullying, harassment, and unfair and unreasonable. So her union representative there is obviously supportive of her, but I think the reason for this is simply because they claim it is a stereotype to say that a black woman looks angry or intimidating. So regardless of whether she is or not, it seems that you're just not allowed to say these things, even if they are true. And this is a fact with so much of society today. You're just not allowed to point things out that are actually verifiably true because we're told it's a stereotype. As if something's a stereotype, then it's of no use to us. Whereas generally stereotypes are very useful because generally they're accurate and they allow us to make decisions. You know, decisions that could be very important ones that could be to do with personal protection. And we make an assessment on the stereotype. I mean, that's why you have them. So much of society today is against stereotypes. And I don't really understand why that is, because I think that, you know, they've turned out to be protective in the past, protecting us from coming to harm, because we have assessed that something could be a dangerous situation, so we avoid that situation. Even if you may have been wrong, it's better to be wrong and remain safe than to, you know, be right about it and go in there anyway and then cause some harm to yourself. So stereotypes are actually quite a positive thing, but we seem to think that they're terrible for some reason. And what do you make of this union rep and the tribunal here, Grandpa?
Well, I think another way to look at this is, you know, because obviously we don't know this Miss Moody. We don't know anything about her. You know, we don't know her as an individual person. And maybe, just maybe, you know, she if you knew her personally, maybe she's just kind of one of those people that, you know, she's actually all right. She just comes across wrong. You know, benefit of the doubt sort of thing. But in such a case, then you would say, this isn't the job for her, you know. I'm not very tall. I'm old. So if I somehow got a job, I don't know, on a professional basketball team, it wouldn't matter how much team spirit I had, how much I, you know, worked well with the team, you know, one time out on the court, and I can 100% guarantee you everybody would be like, well, this isn't the job. This isn't the job for me. I mean, this obviously somebody put this guy in a position that he's not qualified. This isn't for him. And that may be the case with this woman. I mean, she may not be a we don't know her. She may not be a horrible person. We don't want to try to read in that she's some sort of horrible person. This just working with children just may not be where she needs to be. Maybe there's another job that she would be better suited for, because maybe it's just the way she comes off, you know, and is, if that's the case, then a more accurate assessment would be to say, well, you know, she doesn't have any business working with kids. It's just, she doesn't have the temperament for it. She does, you know, her attitude, the way she comes across isn't, she needs to go find a job doing something else, because this isn't for her. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, if you stuck me on, you know, a professional basketball team, everybody would know right away, it'd be real obvious. This isn't the job for Dan. This isn't for him. He doesn't have the build for it. He's just not for him. It may just be a simple case that this isn't the job for this particular woman. Again, it doesn't mean she's an awful person. It does mean that this entire narrative is, with the questions we've brought up thus far, it's obviously BS. This is a BS narrative that they've constructed in this article. You know, all the whole thing with the staff meeting. You're supposed to get this picture in your head that this one lonely black woman was at a staff meeting full of nothing but misunderstanding white people, and she got misunderstood. I can guarantee you white people at the meeting were more than likely a minority at the table. And obviously everyone present had a problem. You know, they had a problem with her attitude. And so this, the whole racism narrative again falls apart pretty quickly. But again, that doesn't, that's not to say this woman's a bad person or, you know, she's a bitch or something. She just may not be suited to working with kids. And there may be another job somewhere that she'd be much better suited for. And she herself personally would be better off going out and finding that job because she's going to be happier. I mean, why would you want to work at a place where obviously you're not a good fit? Why would you try to cram yourself in there? You're just going to make yourself as well as everybody else miserable. You know, she would be a lot better off, I think, finding something she was better suited for. Because obviously, working with children ain't it.
Well, I should imagine that the white people that were involved in this were doing their best not to appear racist. It must be that, she, I mean, they must have been putting up with a lot before they would actually say something. And what the employment judge is saying is that everybody else needs to make exceptions for her. You know, it's everybody else that has, who's got it wrong. And this woman who everybody is perceiving as angry, they just have to put up with that because they're in the wrong because it's a stereotype to say that a black woman looks angry. Well, quite clearly, it's an accurate stereotype, isn't it? Because that's what's happened with this woman. And it doesn't matter how many complaints are sent in by parents and teachers, they're just going to say, oh, well, it's a stereotype. Even if it's true, it's a stereotype and you're not allowed to say it. You have to make exceptions. Well, after a complaint in March 2021 from a parent, an investigation into Miss Moody's conduct was undertaken. The investigation conducted 18 interviews with pupils at the school, and they were asked how they felt about Miss Moody. Remember the ethnic makeup, the demographics? 50% white. So you can dare say 9 of those pupils are probably white, 9 of them probably weren't. And perhaps they even weighted it towards it being non-white pupils to make certain that race didn't come up as a factor in it. And the children had a range of responses from her being fun to being a little scared and being very scared, mostly in reference to instances of poor behaviour where the teaching assistant needed to step in. And that's obviously when she's been intimidating, is when she's been trying to discipline the children. But it's not really very helpful here because it doesn't tell us how many people said she was fun or how many people said they were very scared or what the ethnic makeup was of these people. Because you would, again, you would need to see the racial quotas actually in the makeup of this questionnaire, this response, I would suggest, before you can say that it's racist, because half of them were black, I would say. Well, half of them were non-white. Were they the ones that said that she was being fun? Surely they would say half of the respondents said that she was fun, and they haven't said that, and because they're trying to weight this towards white people being evil racists. It suggests that there was probably only one person, maybe, who said that she was being fun, and probably quite a few who said that they were scared or very scared, particularly if, as a result of this investigation, she was told that she had to leave. Anyway, what do you make of this bit, Grandpa?
Well, if it reached, this isn't just a matter of perception, you know, if it reached the point other staff members, she's dealing with children, and reached the point where other staff members, again, we're not told the racial demographics of any of these people, were the other staff members also black? Because again, that would be really relevant here. But if this wasn't just a misconception, when it reaches the point where other staff felt it necessary to step in and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, why are you talking to these kids this way? You know, that's very, you know, that's very telling. As you point out, they leave out the racial demographics of who was interviewed. It's probably safe to say they weighted it non-white, and you have all these people like, yeah, you know, I mean, my kids, the staff members, they don't like dealing with this individual person. Obviously, some of them got along with her fine. That raises the question, like you say, if they would have told us, you know, the breakdown racially of the responses, it raises the question then, since some of the students said they thought she was great, they thought she was fun, that raises the question, was she treating some of the students differently from others? Was she extra ugly to, say, the Indian students versus the black students? Or was she extra ugly to the white students? Which students thought she was great? You know, that would be, again, that would be relevant to the case. It would be relevant to the story. And it's very conspicuously, I think, left out here.
Well, the only reason we have any of these problems between these different racial groups is because we're forced to live in a multicultural society. None of these problems would exist otherwise. Well, Miss Moody updated her 2020-21 appraisal action plan, stating, "I do not agree with these discriminatory, stereotypical views of me as a black woman, painting me as the aggressive, intimidating, angry black woman trope." So is she saying that she's not actually a black woman? She doesn't agree with these stereotypical views of her as a black woman? So she's saying that this can only be racism. It can't possibly be true, effectively. She says, "For example, I allegedly need to be more mindful of not towering over children. I'm 5'3" and there are members of staff a lot taller than me, yet I alone, it seems, allegedly towering over the children. I do not know who made the allegation, and my side of the story was never asked." Well, it's quite clearly it was multiple allegations. It wasn't just one allegation. It was multiple allegations that have been going on for a long time. And this is quite clear that she's not going to make any changes. She's not going to address her behavior whatsoever because she's been told that it's a stereotypical racist view if somebody says that a black woman is intimidating or aggressive, regardless of the fact whether she is or not. And quite clearly she is. Otherwise, we would have seen the picture of her, wouldn't we? She would be proud to have her picture on the story, showing how she doesn't look angry at all. Grandpa, what do you make of her appraisal action plan?
Well, this is, you know, one of the other problems here is it cuts off people's path to self-improvement. Instead of being encouraged to, you know, change their behavior. Because, again, you would have to look around. If you were this person, you'd have to look around and ask yourself, well, you know, the other black teachers and black teachers' assistants aren't having these complaints, but I am. So what do I need to do different? You know, the towering over thing. I think that was more about attitude than literally standing tall, you know, just standing taller than everybody else. I don't think that was the case. I think what was being referenced here is her attitude, you know, the way she's coming off at people. An opportunity is missed here for self-reflection on this person's part because they could look at it and go, well, my fellow, you know, why didn't she go to her other you know, the other staff members, the other black female staff members, it's not like she's the only one in the school, and ask them, hey, you know, as a fellow black woman, you're not having these problems. I'm getting all these complaints. What are you doing? What do I need to do different? But you see, all of that is thrown out the window because you've got the easy out of it's all just racism and I'm just being picked on. And that obviously that claim here, you know, it doesn't hold any water. Once again, you know, it's another diversity success story. We keep being told this is our strength and it makes everything better. And we keep having stories like this where it's obviously, you know, you have all of this friction and all of these problems. I think at the end of the day, this woman needs to find a different line of work. Again, we don't know her individually. She may be a nice person. She just has a really gruff way of coming off. She may not even like children. She's just in the wrong job here. But nobody can come to that truth and come to that realization because instead they've crafted this narrative to tell her and to tell the world that this is just a failing on everybody else's part. This is just a case of rampant racism in the UK.
It's everybody else's fault. Well, in March 2022, after further complaints about her demeanor and her, quote, angry face, Miss Moody was placed on alternative duties. She sent an email complaining about the racial bias undertones, the discrimination and the oppression that was being aimed at her. She said, "I am being harassed and bullied to get me to leave my employment or to be fired." And effectively, all she's been told is, look, there's an issue with the way you're dealing with the children. This started a formal disciplinary investigation where she was investigated about the safety and well-being of the children, safeguarding, and whether there was a breakdown in trust from the school. So because she's refused to actually adapt her behaviour, and instead she's blamed everybody else, they then have to investigate whether the children are still safe around her because she refuses to adapt her behaviour. Again, she's refusing it because she's been told it's all racism to say things like that. The investigation said the school feels that despite the support put in place, you have not changed your behaviour towards children, which is evidenced by the ongoing concerns raised by them and all their parents. I mean, so there's a lot of people complaining here. It says all their parents. The investigating officer appointed by the local authority added that Miss Moody had been accused of failing to acknowledge how your behaviour is affecting the children. That's at the root of this. It's not racial stereotypes. She's refusing to adapt her behaviour. Following the investigation, Miss Moody was dismissed with 2 months' notice because a substantive relationship with the school was not possible. So I think the school have been very patient here. They've done everything that they're supposed to do. They've investigated it. They've given her a chance to change. And instead of changing, she's just said, well, it's everybody else's fault but mine. I mean, what do you make of this, Grandpa? It sounds like they put a lot of support in place for her.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what the settlement entails. Does she get her job back? Because that's not going to help her. She's going to continue to have the same problems. Are they just going to pay her off and she can go on her way? I mean, anybody who's ever, had to supervise people, been a boss, they've dealt with people like this, regardless of race, by the way. You have somebody in your employment and you have complaint after complaint after complaint about this person in your employment to the point that you have to let them go. If you've ever been a boss, you've run into this and you sit this person down and you let them know, I've got all these complaints. You've already talked to them about it before. They don't change their behavior. You sit them down finally and you say, I'm going to have to cut you loose. I'm sorry, bro. I got to cut you loose. And they will 100% of the time, they'll go on a tirade about how it's not them and these other people are worse than I am and everything else. And it's like at the end of the day, the reality is all the complaints are about you. That means you're the problem. She just was handed this you can claim racism card. So that's what she's going with. But the reality of the matter is that she's the common denominator. She's the problem, whether it's just she shouldn't be working with children, whatever the case may be, that's the issue. So hopefully at least out of the settlement, she doesn't get her job back, because that's not going to help her and it's not going to help the school. It's not going to help the students. It's not going to help anybody else. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I hope that as a part of the settlement, she's just going to get some money. She can go on her way and hopefully find a job she's better suited for.
Well, I think that's what happens in the end here. When we take a look at our final quote here, I think the actual racial bias here is coming from the employment judge, who is also black, the same as Miss Moody is black, because instead of looking at things from the way that we've just looked at them in this podcast, she says something quite different. Employment judge Patricia Tuaji ruled the dismissal was unfair and that Miss Moody had experienced race discrimination and harassment. Miss Moody also made a claim that she had experienced victimization, but this was unsuccessful. Judge Tuaji said, in my view, the complaints made against Miss Moody reinforced Miss Amianclote's own view of her, which I find was based on negative racial stereotyping. So she is saying that all these pupils and other teachers, they knew that Miss Amianclote didn't like her and that they were all just writing in complaints to support her. Is that what she's saying here? They just reinforced the head teacher's own view of her? Well, even if they did reinforce the teacher's own view of her, that backs up the teacher's view of her. She said she perceived her to be angry. She failed to consider that her supposedly angry face was simply her resting face. The judge added that there were numerous and serious deficiencies and procedural irregularities during the disciplinary process, and particularly during the investigation. A remedy hearing will be held to establish the amount of compensation that Miss Moody has won. So she's going to get money out of this, and it's the pupils and the teachers that are being accused of being racist and harassing this woman and being discriminatory against her for asking her to modify her attitude towards the school pupils. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
Well, again, it's pretty obvious this woman has no business around students. If that's her, you know, as they wrote here in the story, if that's her regular resting face, then she's just not cut out for the job. And there's, you know, it's not a slight against her personally. You know, she's just obviously has no business in this job. She needs to find something else to do. She would have saved herself a lot of grief if she had accepted that early on and moved on herself. You know, why would you want to be somewhere? Why would you stay at a job where you have all of this conflict all of the time? I don't understand it. You know, just if you really think everybody's racist against you, I would go somewhere else. You know, I mean, if I took on a job and like I was the only white person, I actually had a job many years ago when I was really young. Just because I was desperate for a job, I went to work at a place and I was like literally the only white person there. And, you know, I got all the shit work. I mean, you know, I mean, it was just that they didn't want me there. They wanted their relatives there. And, you know, I didn't stay there very long. I didn't whine about, you know, oh, they're being racist towards me because I'm white. I'm just like, well, they obviously don't want me here. You know, they're going to keep handing me worse and worse tasks to do because they want me to leave because they want to hire one of their relatives. You know, it's like, this isn't the place for me. And so I just quit and moved on to another job. And that's what people at the end of the day, I mean, that's what you should do. And that's what this woman should do. She needs to find something else. She doesn't have any business. She doesn't have any business working for kids or working with, rather, I should say, working with kids here.
Well, I think she stayed on there because she could see that she might get some compensation out of it by claiming it was all discrimination and racism, because it was a stereotypical view to say that black women look angry. Well, anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.